All right, everybody, how's it going? This is John Maz from Bad Guy Muay Thai, and I got my co-host here, Joffer Papa Pump Panazai, and we have, like we always say, a very special guest today. We have somebody who is pretty big in their own right in their community.
She's about 6 foot one.
6 foot one?
Yes.
Just kidding. We have Stephanie from Stupid Easy Paleo, and she's joining us via Skype all the way from the lovely Southern California. How you doing today, Steph?
I'm doing really well. How about you guys?
Good.
We're doing pretty good. We're glad to have you on. We're actually really excited that this is like kind of like one of our first referral podcasts. The guys over at OMG were like, you gotta talk to our friend Stephanie. She's so cool. And we're like, we don't believe you because you guys aren't that cool.
And he has a mustache, so that's bullshit.
I'm just kidding. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of, he's sporting the hipster stash lately.
He can pull it off. I wish I could do the same. I don't even know if you can grow a mustache.
No, I don't. You know, I just hit puberty a few days ago, so.
All right, it's a little patchy.
Yeah, exactly.
So for folks that don't know about you and what you do, I mean, you kind of have a few really cool different things going on. Would you just mind giving us a brief introduction about what Stupid Easy Paleo is? And then maybe for some people who don't even know what paleo is, can you kind of just maybe give like a Cliff Notes 101 on that as well?
Sure, so I'll do that first so that everybody has an idea of what we're talking about. So paleo is basically a dietary / lifestyle approach. It's not like, I want to lose 5 pounds in 7 days. This is like, you're committed, you're going to be doing this for a while. So it's a dietary approach. Basically, the tenets are grain-free, dairy-free, gluten-free. So kind of eliminating different problematic foods out of your diet. And that's the basic idea. So what do we eat? We eat lots of meat, seafood, and eggs, lots of fruits and vegetables, and lots of delicious healthy fat.
Like ghee.
Yeah, ghee is my favorite thing to cook with. It's amazing. So I started Stupid Easy Paleo back in 2011. I've been paleo since 2010, and it was a way for me to get recipes off of my personal blog because I would just put stuff up there, and people were kind of sick of reading it, and they were like, why don't you just start a food blog? So I did, and that's become Stupid Easy Paleo. And I try to keep my approach really easy for people to get into paleo, try to keep it from being really intimidating, give easy recipes, and just also write about the lifestyle and some of the different kind of pitfalls and things that people sometimes fall into.
Now, how did you get your blog so big? Because when the guys from OMG kind of referred me over to you, I looked on your Facebook page and it was like 70 or 80,000 followers. I looked on your Instagram, you got 20 or 30,000 followers. When did you kind of hit this stride and just being kind of like the paleo aficionado, if you don't mind?
So I spent the last 12 years as a high school chemistry and biology teacher, and that was what was occupying most of my time and energy. But in the last couple years, I started to work on my blog a little bit more, but there was only so much time that I had that was free time.
We kind of know exactly how that feels.
Yeah.
Because we work full-time too, and then like, you know, in the spare time or Instagramming away.
Yeah, and you're trying to get everything launched and off the ground, and you have so many ideas, but there are only so many hours in the day. And last year, right at the end of the school year, I decided to take a leave of absence from my job. So essentially went on a sabbatical and had unlimited time to devote to growing Stupid Easy Paleo. And that's really when stuff started to take off. And it was, the correlation was pretty significant, and it just started to take off. So I think the moral of the story there is just consistency and really posting regularly, doing good stuff that people like to see, and just getting out there and interacting with people.
And all your pictures look really hipster too. Like everything you post always looks like it looks so cool. I'm really jealous because I kind of have a little bit of a photography background. I'm like, damn, I'm like, that looks good. And she took that with like a regular camera.
Well, you haven't scrolled back far enough because I have lots and lots of ugly food on my blog from when I first started.
Now, I got a question for you. Definition of paleo changes amongst different people. Some people say you can have some potatoes, no potatoes, sweet potatoes, no sweet potatoes, quinoa, maybe. What is your definition of paleo?
So I really focus on the fact that context matters. And if you're an athlete, for example, which I am, I know that I'm going to be fueling myself a little bit differently, a little, especially if I'm doing something like high intensity training, that I'm going to fuel myself on the higher carb side of things. Whereas somebody who's trying to deal with, say, they've got blood sugar regulation issues, they're trying to lose a vast amount of body fat and really kind of recover from this state of being sick, that they're going to push the boat toward, say, a lower carb approach than someone who's really active. So I don't, for me, when I talk to people, it really varies depending on what their goals are. And I think that's really important, that there's kind of a template when you first start, because you have to wrap your brain around all this stuff. What am I going to eat? What can't I eat? And then over time, you really start to customize things. And I specialize in working with athletes. So what people will see when they read some of my material with athletes is, like, you can eat white potatoes, you can eat white rice, tapioca. Like, we really need to make sure that most athletes are fueling with dense sources of carbohydrate that are also nutrient dense. So you'll see a lot of that stuff showing up in what I talk about. And it's really different from person to person.
Now, you said you're an athlete. What sport do you do?
Right now, I am Olympic weightlifting. So
nice. What's your specialty? The snatch?
No. Snatch and I are, man, we're hot and cold. Some days it's great, and other days I just want to give up. But no, definitely the clean. I'm a much stronger athlete because the clean is a lot more forgiving. So
I'm really good at the jerk.
Yeah. lots of practice with that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
One-handed.
One-handed jerks.
How did you get into Olympic weightlifting? Were you like a collegiate athlete or high school athlete and you kind of transferred over once you left the sport, or did it just kind of fall into your lap?
I wish I could say I had an amazing story. I've always been a really athletic and active kid. In high school, I played sports and I ran track and played soccer. And then I got into mountain biking when I was in my early 20s. And that was my predominant sport for a really long time. And then I switched over to, I started doing CrossFit as a way to get stronger on the bike. Mm-hmm. And about 3.5 years ago, I kind of transitioned into just doing CrossFit most of the time. And a component of that is weightlifting. And I really fell in love with it. And it really is it was the part of CrossFit that I was the best at, because I was, really strong, not as good at the gymnastics stuff. And I just kind of naturally went in that direction.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you have an athlete come to you who's like, all right, my sport is, they're a marathon runner, and they have 2 workouts a day. How would you use a paleo diet for an athlete like that? Because I know there's several books on it, but just for our readers who are listening right now, just to get some insight from yourself.
There's kind of a couple of different, if we're talking about endurance and really long distance training, there are a couple of different schools of thought. The ketogenic approach, where you're essentially running on fat, ketone bodies, is really, really popular, and it's gaining in popularity, but it's really hard to actually be in ketosis all the time. And, for people that train and they're devoting a lot of time to their training, adding on a component of really strict dietary protocol like a ketogenic approach is really tough. So I'm not a huge fan of a ketogenic approach per se. However, for endurance folks, I do like to see them eating a little bit of carbohydrate, especially in the post-workout window when they're really insulin sensitive. And the really important part about endurance sports is, can we get the athlete to be burning fat most of the time? And when they're active, like, even marathoners will go out and do speed training from time to time, right? And so they're going to be a little bit more glycogen dependent in those particular training sessions. So it really depends on what the person's doing. If they're just doing a lot of long, slow distance stuff, they can get by on a pretty low carbohydrate approach. If they're doing a lot of lactate work, they're really hitting threshold, they're like, well, I'm an endurance athlete, but I'm
trying to work with myself. Why are they working out right after they gave birth? You said, if they're doing a lot of lactation.
Yeah.
I can't resist. I'm sorry.
Oh, this kid is killing me. I have a question for you, because I know, like you said, you're a CrossFit athlete, and CrossFit is getting huge. I mean, more and more people are getting involved in kind of like the wave of different plane of training sports like that. I know for the older generation, like say our parents, people who are 50 and 65, how can they kind of transition into more like the paleo lifestyle diet? Because they don't understand it at all. Like the average person doesn't understand like all natural foods or whole foods or not eating grain and not eating bleach and processed things. Like what are maybe some kind of baby steps towards that they can take? Because I know you have like a million recipes that look excellent on the pictures.
Well, I think it's really important for people to figure out what kind of like how they deal with change. So some people really like to be cold turkey, right? They're going to go all in and from day one, they're all set. Some other people just cannot handle that amount of change at one time. So taking an approach where they're like, let's say they're going to switch out gluten containing foods with gluten-free products. That's a really simple step to take, or eliminating soda and candy bars and, you know, junk food. Like that's a huge first step for a lot of folks. And so if you're like, you know what, you're just going to take that food and chuck it and you're going to replace it with, you know, we're going to eat vegetables. We're going to eat some fruit. We're going to have a lot of protein at every meal and we're going to eat a lot of healthy fat. That is just enough for most people to start off with. So I think it's really about being conscious. Like, how are we going to switch some of these things out? And really a lot of folks are so dependent on refined carbohydrate for a huge component of their diet. I mean, bagel in the morning for breakfast,
sandwich for lunch,
spaghetti for dinner, you know? So it really, for some folks, the idea of how, it's like a paradigm shift in their mind. How can I possibly even eat if I can't eat all these foods that I'm really familiar with and I've been eating my entire life? So for some folks, it's finding gluten-free options that look and taste like what they're used to. And some people are ready to just jump in and say, you know, I'm going to tackle this spaghetti squash. I have no idea what to do with it, but...
Which is delicious.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big buzzwords now, too, is everywhere you go, everything is like organic this and organic that. And I was in the supermarket today just getting a few groceries, and one of the things was like organic frozen burritos or something. I'm like, oh, that looks good. But then when you actually read the contents of the product, it might be a few organic products, but the rest of it's kind of crap because it's frozen processed food. And I think a lot of people kind of get stuck on that word too.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the gluten-free is kind of the same way. And I think it's a good stepping stone, but when you look at a lot of gluten-free products, they're still rammed with sugar. There could be some potentially cross-reactive protein stuff going on there. And, you know, it's just not very nutrient dense when you take a look at it. So I agree. Labels are, you know, marketers are smart. They know the buzzwords to use to get people to buy, even if it's not really high quality.
So now there's a lot of diets out there. There's a lot of trends going around. What basically for you was a selling point on the paleo diet? What was like the thing that made you go, wow, I really want to invest my time and effort into this diet?
You know, I'll be really honest. It wasn't until I tried it and I felt so much better. I was able to sleep through the night really soundly. I didn't have these huge blood sugar, you know, spikes and crashes. I could get through the day with stable energy and go to bed soundly at night. I was, you know, got rid of some digestive issues that I was having. So for me, the proof was really in doing it and feeling better. And that was motivation enough to keep going. But for a lot of people, just buying in is, it's hard to get the buy-in because they're like, this is weird. I don't know how to handle this. And once they start and they're able to stick with it long enough, they do see and feel the effects. And so that's the buy-in. That's the carrot that keeps them motivated.
Now, did you experiment with any other lifestyle changes before? And then have you seen any performance results from some of the different experiments with your diet that you've had?
I was vegetarian for a while.
Me too.
Prior to being paleo. And so I was also an endurance athlete at the time. And, you know, it's hard to, I don't know. Could I have performed better? Probably. I know I'm a lot stronger. And I really don't think that it would have been possible if I was still eating a really low protein diet. So, you know, I haven't done anything super crazy, but I can tell you, I have done stuff like Weight Watchers back in my early 20s, and that stuff and having to count macro or count points or count macros or count blocks is just it robs you of your freedom, and it's not very fun. And I think for a short-term goal, it's fine, but for people to live that way is just depressing.
So now I got a question. I myself, I'm a big enthusiast of nutrition, and I don't know if you've ever read this book. It's called The China Study. And basically they talk about, the high levels of protein we're taking in our diet are completely unnecessary. It's like the precursor to cancer. They have some good studies that they list. But what is your counter to all these, basically anything I find out there, I realize there's a bias to it. So what's your insight on people who say, hey, so much protein is, way too carcinogenic for us, and it's basically causing increasing cancer rates? What would you say about that?
I think it's interesting, and this kind of gets into the whole vegetarian/vegan versus meat eater debate. And there's really no evidence that folks with normal functioning kidneys are going to damage their bodies by eating a higher percentage of protein. So that's number one. Number two, I think what you'll find is that a lot of vegetarians and vegans are using stuff like processed pea protein and hemp protein. And they're using all these really, they're using extra sources of protein in their diet. They know it's important. So it's not quite like we're just going to eat fruits and vegetables and some grains all the time. So that's another thing. Third thing is that in a paleo approach, we're not just eating acidifying foods, right? So meat has this reputation. It's very acidifying, which leaches micronutrients from the body. But paleo is not Atkins. Like, we're supposed to eat tons of fruits and vegetables. So we can counter some of that acidifying biochemistry from proteins. And then I think you just have, like, number four would just be try it. You're an experiment of one. Get some blood tests done. Do a before and after. Give it a go and really see what happens. I mean, what's going to happen when you're lifting up the hood of the car, so to say? What's going on inside? And some of those blood tests and markers are going to give you a decent idea. And a lot of it, like, there's tons of research, but you have to see who's it funded by, what really were the conclusions, what was the sample size, what kind of study was it? And we get a lot of these bro science type of things that come out.
We love bro science.
Right? Or sound bites that sound sensational, and they're like, meat is going to, kill you. And it's really hyped up and it's really over the top and the hyperbole is crazy. So when you really drill down, we have a lot of things that are correlated, but there's no causation there. And so I think, the public has to know how to read these studies, not the studies themselves, but they have to know how to look at it from an objective point of view and say, okay, wait a second. If this study on why soy is amazing is funded by some kind of soy council or whatever, right? Like, we have to see, obviously, organizations that are funding that stuff are going to look for a favorable outcome in what they publish. So I think we need to have some amount of literacy with that stuff when we read it and take it for what it is. And the fact of the matter is, we just discovered the structure of DNA in the 1950s. This is a mere 60 years later, and we're still learning so much about the human genome and how genes work. And it's just an unfolding process. But there's nothing that can substitute for you trying something out and see how you feel, how you look, feel, and perform. And if you look, feel, and perform better, like, what other proof do you need, man? I mean, it's right there, right?
That's like the general consensus that we've been getting on the podcast is we've had a few nutrition and professional athletes, and we always ask, what kind of diets do you participate in? And they always say, like, well, I do this, but I've experimented, and this is what works best for me. It might not work best for you. And which is great to hear in the community that not everything works the same for every body type or every blood type or, every athlete.
Sure.
Now, it's funny, you said you were a vegetarian for a while. I actually was the same. I tried it for my sport. I competed in kickboxing. And, it's funny because for me, I had a very negative effect to it. I felt weak. Even though I did feel light all the time, I felt weak. I felt hungry all the time. I never felt satisfied. Your opinion on it, listeners, if you're listening, it's not like we're going against vegetarianisms. I have athletes and friends who are vegan, who are in amazing shape and can do amazing things, but it's not for all of us. So what were the signs for you that it wasn't really doing your body well?
At the time, I didn't really link it to what I was eating because I thought, hey, I'm doing so well. I'm eating, you know, very healthy. I'm choosing whole grains and, you know, whatever it was. But I will tell you that I was eating a fair amount of processed vegetarian food, you know, like the patties and the fake cheese and all this other stuff. And I think, and a lot of soy. And I was just having massive, really strange digestive problems that in the back of my mind, I just knew was not normal. I also had weird stuff. Like I had acne up one half of my back. It was so weird, like all kinds of really weird stuff that I couldn't, no matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of it. And within about 3 months of being paleo, all that stuff was gone.
You know, and a lot of them would say, oh, well, you're supposed to eat 80-10-10 and these other type of diets.
Zone diet.
Well, no, that's meat.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, but like you'll try to eat, you know, for veganism, 80-10-10 or just fruit or this and that. But let's be honest. Most individuals who have taken a basic nutrition course, they know that we do require protein for muscular development, for muscle synthesis, protein synthesis. And here's the issue that I'm finding within the community and why I kind of get aggravated when people give paleo a tough time is it's just science. If you're an athlete like yourself, like me, where we are breaking ourselves down, we need to resynthesize muscle. And they don't take that into account. I just kind of, once in a while, I read on the threads. I'm a big nerd when it comes to nutrition. And when I read it, I just feel like it's one of the most biased groups that I've seen is the vegetarian field. Whereas, like, paleo can fall into that too, but I actually like what you're doing where with athletes, you're thinking beyond the box. You're allowing rice, you're allowing potatoes, you're seeing the nutrient density in each of that. And I really commend you on that.
Thanks. You know, I think I was chatting with a gal from San Diego State. She was doing an article about paleo and she had talked to a bunch of registered dietitians prior to talking to me. And she was like, you know, you wouldn't believe how vehemently opposed they were, the registered dietitians, to a paleo approach because you're eliminating food groups. And I was like, but what about, okay, we're going to eliminate meat. I mean, we're going to eliminate animal protein completely from a diet. How does that get a pass? And I understand some people do have an ethical objection, which some of it you can poke holes in that stuff as well. But from a nutrition standpoint, especially as an athlete, like you're just going to beat the absolute crap out of yourself and then not give your body the nutrition to recover. And over long periods of time, that stuff, I mean, you see the effects. You see people who are just, they've catabolized their muscle mass. They're weak. Their bone density is really low. I mean, they're not, I was doing a seminar last night and I said, could you survive on eating Cheetos?
Maybe for like 2 days when you're hungover.
You could survive for probably a relatively long time. You've got caloric intake there. You've got some salt, right? And you've got some carbohydrate. Not a bad deal. But would you really be thriving?
Exactly.
And that's a huge difference. I think a lot of folks walk around and they're like, well, you know, hey, I woke up today. It's amazing. Like, yay me. But are they really happy, healthy? I call it happy, healthy, and harder to kill.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the biggest issue we're having is, you know, all these diets are becoming a trend. It's becoming, okay, I'm a part of something now. So no longer is it, oh, I'm following a diet to make myself better. I am a part of a group now. And that's when things get really weird. It basically becomes a new religion.
Yeah, and not only that, but a group that then an industry springs up around that. And you've got every charlatan and snake oil salesperson who's looking to repackage what they do to, say, fit a paleo approach. And you can see those folks from a mile away. You know, they're the kind of people that come out of nowhere and they're trying to sell things to you 24/7. And I get it. You know, there is a demand for product. There's a demand for information. But, you know, where are people's hearts? And
mine's in your hands.
And I was gonna say, for most people, like it's in people's wallets because they just want to make money, and I get it. We all need to make a living and survive, but at the same time, you know, you do get those wolves in sheep's clothing that come on the scene. So it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, there's so many of those like protein company pyramid schemes and stuff like that going on now, and their quality is just really crap. But I had a question for you. I mean, you said you went on your sabbatical to kind of work on Stupid Easy Paleo full time. How did you kind of fall into this, knowing that you were like maybe a little crafty at cooking and maybe a little crafty at blogging, and then all of a sudden you just have this, like, you know, I'm looking on your Facebook page and you have like this dry rub mocha slow cooker
frappuccino,
like all this like really intricate, like you know, high level kind of cuisine, but that it fits into like the segment of paleo. Like, how did you kind of get into this culinary background?
Yeah, how'd you get creative enough for it?
Because anybody can make, like, you know, a hamburger and, you know, veggies. That's, like, you know, every day. But yours is, like, you know, next level.
Practice and experimentation.
Did you have any culinary training for it?
I always used to cook and love food, and actually learned a lot from my grandmother growing up. And just, you know, food is so universal, and we all eat, and it's an experience. It's cultural. And I don't know, I just always really loved cooking, and inevitably would be the person that folks would ask to bring food to a party and that sort of stuff. And I don't like really complicated stuff. I don't have a million tricks up my sleeve. I just like food that tastes good and is really simple. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. So that's what just motivated me to put stuff out there, and the response was good, and it's been good since then. So
now, is it a little easier for you because of where you live? I mean, you're living in Southern California, and we talked to some of our friends who live in more exotic areas, that it is easier to obtain a higher quality food all year round.
In almost every town and city in America, you can find meat, eggs, maybe fish, depending on local availability, vegetables and fruit, and things like nuts, olive oil. I mean, this is like basic staple stuff. Where people start to get really wigged out is where they can't find coconut aminos in their store. And I'm like, you can do paleo without coconut aminos. I promise you, it's going to be fine. So a lot of times where we're looking for really specialty ingredients, people get a little bit, you know, stressed about that, or they think that you have to eat grass-fed, pastured, wild-caught, everything, and that's just absolutely not true.
It's almost unaffordable for most people as well.
Well, paleo has become this, like, elitist, people think it's an elitist diet. Like, you have to be really wealthy to do paleo, and I'm like, no, actually,
that's a poor guy's diet.
If you keep it really basic and you stick to those staples, and you're not doing a lot of baking, and you're not finding a lot of specialty foods, and you don't have to buy the highest quality everything. I mean, is it ideal? Probably, but we've got to be realistic here. I mean, we're trying to get people off the couch, get the soda bottles out of their hands, ditch the sugar, and just start feeding themselves so that they can actually thrive instead of just surviving. And if we can open up people's minds to that, that's such a huge, we can literally change the world. If people are willing to buy in. And we need to make it accessible enough for folks, though.
If you told me to, I would change the world for you in a second.
Well, I think we could have a you know, multi-pronged plan of attack there. So
now, out of all your recipes, which one is your favorite recipe that you have so far?
Gosh, that's like asking a mother to choose between children.
I would choose you.
My mom would choose my mom would choose my sister.
I would say there's a recipe on my site for a pan-fried lemon chicken that just is amazing. It goes with everything. It's juicy, it's really flavorful, and it's really, really simple. So I would say that's probably my favorite because everybody loves chicken.
Now, your food is so delicious, deliciously good looking. Do you get offers all the time to do meal planning and meal preparation for some clients?
You know, I've had folks ask if I would cook for them. And I don't know. I think that would take some of the joy out of it for me because it would be like work to cook and be creative in the kitchen all the time. Mm-hmm. And do it on demand. That's one of the hardest things for me is my inspiration and creativity just shows up when it feels like it. So it's hard to predict. I've had folks continually ask me for meal plans, and I shudder at the absolute thought of that. I don't want to do it. It's counter to everything that I do. I'm not a list maker. I don't plan that way. And so I actually wrote a blog post really recently teaching people how to make their own meal plan. Because then you get to choose the foods that you like. You haven't spent $50 on a meal plan that sucks, and you won't eat half the stuff on the list. It doesn't fit your schedule. So, since I'm a teacher, it's what I do. I'm like, no, let me show you how to do it instead of just giving you the information. And most people I know that write meal plans, they burn out really fast. It's really, really demanding. So,
well, that's what this guy does for me. He's put me on a food plan, but
yeah, what I have to do with all my clients on the regular. Like, oh, yeah, give me a meal plan.
But I'm flexible. I ask him, I'm like, these are things I like. What do you think? And he's like, those are all good. You just, kind of go at your own pace.
Yeah, I just like, honestly, it's funny because people ask me, what do I try to tell most people to eat? And when it comes down to it, it's basically paleo because there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, where's, like, example, you can go vegan and they still have vegan cookies,
Sure.
You can go any lifestyle and they found a way to kind of manipulate it. Whereas paleo, down deep, you're not supposed to have those, oh, it's a paleo cookie. You're not supposed to have that. That's counter to the whole movement. You know?
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with treats and stuff like that, but
I'd like to give you a treat someday.
I just don't know what to say to that.
just ignore him.
I think there is a time and a place for that sort of stuff, but what I think is kind of misleading is when folks are new and they come in and they're like, oh, I can have unlimited whatever I want because it's made with paleo ingredients, and then they find themselves gaining weight, they don't feel any better, they're spending a lot of money on stuff that's not really very nutritious, right? So, and that's a great point. There's a way to do every well-intentioned dietary plan in a really poor way. Paleo is becoming very similar in some ways.
Do you want to kind of touch on, when I talked to you last week, you were flying from, flying into Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to kind of like talk about some of the seminars and stuff that you do? Because I don't think Joffre knows, and I don't think a lot of other people know that you kind of have a whole other thing going on as well.
Yeah, so I am a co-presenter of a seminar called The Whole Athlete, and this is a joint venture between myself and a company called Whole 9. They do a Whole 30 program, which is basically an elimination diet. It's a way for people to get started. They don't call it paleo, but it's basically along a paleo approach. So anyway, the folks that created this program, their names are Dallas and Melissa Hartwig. They actually, over the years, have become friends of mine, and we decided to launch this new seminar called The Whole Athlete, where we speak more specifically to the demands of being an athletic person, but not just nutritionally. So sleep, stress management, psychology, dealing with injury, I mean, all sorts of stuff. And so we go around the country presenting this seminar to different gyms, and folks will come in and, sometimes they have a little bit of information about nutrition in their back pocket, but we talk a lot about how you can, how you can have sports in your life and how you can train, and whether you're a high level athlete or you're just, somebody who's a weekend warrior, you can make that a really healthy part of your life, because I think you guys would agree there's definitely a way to take training and competition and performance into an unhealthy territory. And for some people they know that full well, but for most folks, I think they just want to be, they just want to be able to have a good life and be strong and be able to run after their kids and, have fun and get a little physical outlet. So that's one of the things that, I'm participating in is the seminar. The other thing is right now I'm just in Southern California, just going around and doing basic nutrition seminars for paleo. So if folks are in Southern California and they have a gym or a facility, training facility, I'm available to come and do stuff and talk to your folks. So I was up last night in Temecula doing one of those at a local CrossFit.
Yeah. I know now Southern California is a huge center for mixed martial arts and even specifically jiu-jitsu. Have you been able to kind of get yourself into that market? Because nutrition and that, everything that encompasses both of those sports.
I'll be really honest. It's not something that I've pursued yet. However, when I was a couple days ago getting ready to, you know, come on the podcast and stuff, I actually put a question on my Facebook page for the Paleo Athlete. And I was like, hey, how many people here do some kind of BJJ or mixed martial arts or, you know, whatever? And there were a lot of people who were like, I do that sort of training. So it kind of opened my eyes. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
About, you know, where this could be, where we could take this, because most of the crowds that we speak to are for the CrossFit community, but it's definitely something that's growing. I mean, we've got people in every sport, in every walk of life that are doing paleo now. Actually had an Olympic track and field athlete contact me a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, it's everywhere, right? It's from moms and dads to the most elite level athletes that you can possibly get. And so I think that getting out into your community is a logical next step, or at least a place to explore.
Now, where do you see yourself basically growing this company and the future plans for yourself? Say, like, the next 5-year goal.
Oh, man.
Besides moving in with me and being one of my my girlfriends.
Part of your harem.
Yes. I hit on every single woman we have on the podcast, but you're the most lovely of them all.
Oh, thank you. I don't believe you for a second at all, but, you know, I haven't honestly thought that far.
You better start.
I better start. Right now I'm working on a cookbook, and I really love to write, and I love to do photography, but I really like interacting with people, and I think that needs to be a component of what I do. There was a time when I was in college, I was considering going into research, and the idea of staring into a microscope and not interacting with folks all day was really kind of depressing to me. So I would like Stupid Easy Paleo to just be a resource, not only for people who are starting out, but as well athletes, to kind of come and get started with this way of eating and training and supporting a healthy lifestyle. I'm not really sure what form that's going to take or what it's going to morph into, but I think there's a huge potential there. Because what I really try to do is to be approachable and to be helpful to folks. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'd love to say in 5 years I'm going to be retired or something, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Now,
you
said we talked about your seminars earlier. Do you have any anything else coming up, like any big events or seminars? Are you kind of just sticking around doing like the local thing?
Well, you know, the seminars kind of come and go depending on demand. So it's really when folks ask for us to come or for me to come to their gym down here in SoCal, that's when I show up. We just did our last seminar for a while. We've got a couple potentials coming up, but we're just exploring those right now. So actually I have a huge amount of personal life change going on right now. It's all very good, but that's kind of what I'm focusing on the most right now. And summer is kind of a tough time for seminars, and we're almost reaching that point now. So I expect seminars and stuff to kind of lull out until the fall. But
now we have mainly two more questions for you, unless Matt, do you have another one? Or
no, I'm pretty good.
Okay. Now, actually, the first one's very basic, okay? Any shout-outs you have, any people, sponsors, websites that you want to give out right now?
Oh, my gosh, this is going to be like the Oscars where you guys have to cut me off, because if I start talking, it's going to go forever.
It's okay. You know, I could listen to you talk forever.
There have just been so many people that have been instrumental in helping me get Stupid Easy Paleo off the ground and talking me off of ledges and all kinds of stuff. And there have been so many influential people, and it really does take a village. And I'm sure you guys are experiencing that as a podcast, and you're growing and you're entrepreneurial. Like it's not, you can't just do this by yourself. So
yeah, like I need an intern. Do you know any interns that want to work for free?
There are always people who want to work and get experience. But there's too many people to list individually, and if I forget a name, people are going to be upset. But the folks that are listening who know that they've played a role, there are many, many, many of them.
Okay, now, what about your website? Besides Facebook, do you have a direct website and
phone number, Skype.
Snapchat.
Yeah, I love Snapchat.
So people can find me on stupideasypaleo.com, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter,
Tinder,
Pinterest. So basically any social media, any major social media platform, just look for Stupid Easy Paleo, and I'm there.
All right, now our last portion of our show is our random question. That we so we both ask a really random question, and you have to answer it 150% the truth. We don't think about it. That's the cool part of this. We don't
I've been thinking about this all day.
Okay, so I'll let you go for it. You go first, Max.
I went first yesterday.
Okay, I'll go first. Okay.
I'm scared.
If I wrote you a love letter and I looked in your eyes as I gave you the love letter, and at the bottom of it, it said, check yes or no, which one would you check?
I'd have to say no because I'm actually picking my fiance up from the airport probably tonight.
God,
so I'm a spoken for lady, so I'd have to say no just on technicality.
God,
you are striking out like crazy.
I am striking
out. I'm so sorry.
Well, man. If you know any other girls in the SoCal area that are short,
yeah.
The short guys with huge biceps,
then let me know.
You know, yeah, curls for the girls, man.
Right there. Right there.
See? That's what it's about.
Paleo.
So my question is, I've actually been thinking about it all day when you told me you're from Massachusetts.
And, oh, yeah.
I was like, how much money would I have to give you to make you wear a New York Yankees jersey and baseball cap and bring you to a Yankees game?
You know, I have been to Yankee Stadium. I've been to the old Yankee Stadium. So, you know what? I would go to Yankee Stadium. I don't think I would dress in blue and white, and it would probably take a lot of money because I would never live it down if it got on social media. enough money for me to retire, let's just say that much.
What if we got like a GoFundMe going on to make that happen?
I'm game.
All right, we'll get the Bitcoins going. So we would just like to thank you so much. That's just gonna wrap it up for us. You guys can find Stephanie at StupideasyPaleo.com, StupideasyPaleo on Instagram, and then you can find us at Facebook.com/BadGuyMuayThai, and from there you can see all of our silly goofiness. Steph, we'd like to thank you so much.
I would like to thank you even more.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we got to do this again soon.